B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
The latest in the largest esports leagues is ahead here on Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Check out our website over at checkpointxp.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at checkpointxp.com. Each week, We like to check in on the latest in the biggest esports leagues. And, you know, we actually haven't had a good chance to check in on these leagues.
It feels like it's been weeks now.
It's been 2 weeks because of E3. Our E3 coverage had bumped a lot of this off into smaller segments. But now we get to kind of stretch our legs and talk about what the latest is going on in each of these leagues. Starting with, Joe, what's up in the LCS?
Yeah, another wild week in the LCS as we get ready for
a wild week everywhere, first of all.
That's true. Yeah. We are getting ready for a break this weekend as Rift Rivals kicks off. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, talking about last week, 100 Thieves. Wow, they finally get on the board there. A 2-0 week with a win over FlyQuest and Cloud9.
Now, this is after they had relegated a couple of their players down to the Academy last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they were definitely experimenting with some weird comps, or not weird comps, but weird team lineups. Yeah, like, they had players like, you know, Afromu played for their Academy team, and they brought up some other guys to try other people around. So, I don't know if maybe that was just a bit of a wake-up call, like, hey, you guys need to start performing, or there's going to be consequences. That sort of thing, but 100 Thieves looked a lot better. The communication looked a lot better this week. Team Liquid also had a 2-0 week, beating Clutch and Golden Guardians. Counter Logic Gaming, TSM, and Cloud9 all go 1-1. Team Liquid is now alone in first place at 6-2, and then there is a four-way tie for second place between CLG, TSM, C9, and Optic. And I just need to pause for a minute on that and emphasize again, CLG, Counter Logic Gaming in second place.
I mean, yeah, I was about to ask. I mean, even Optic, who is a team that kind of is very middle of the road, but that's two names next to TSM and C9 that probably a lot of people wouldn't have expected even at the beginning of the split.
I mean, I don't want to buy in because as soon as I buy in on CLG, they'll be terrible again.
Dude, yeah. Welcome to being an Outlaws fan.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, Stixxay is finally starting to play better. His team's looking a little bit better. I don't know. I want to believe, and I just...
Break your heart.
No. Says the person in the Team Liquid jersey.
I know.
Right now.
That's what I mean. I'm Team Liquid. I've moved on. I don't need you anymore, CLG. I have someone who appreciates me now.
From a macro point of view, though, with Team Liquid getting out to such a large lead in front of these rest of the teams, and then to be such a big glut in the middle,
yeah.
What do you think this is doing for parity for the league right now?
Well, I think they're... I think right now you're either really good or real bad. So, I mean, you got Team Liquid at 6-2.
Okay, so you're Team Liquid or you're not. Well, that's exactly what the numbers are telling you, Joe.
I mean, but, I mean, like, even that four-way tie in second place, they're only a game behind Team Liquid, and then it's this steep drop-off into the second part. I don't know, man. The parity in the league is weird right now. It's not bad. It's just weird. We also, Norris, I want to talk with you a little bit about Rift Rivals, which is going to be going on Thursday to Sunday in Los Angeles. So for North America, we got Team Liquid, C9, and TSM representing up against Fnatic, G2, and Origin. And so there's no LCS this weekend because Rift Rivals is going on. Norris, am I crazy, but I don't care.
It's hard to care, man. It's really hard to care, especially considering that you have Fnatic and you have G2, Origin, I guess. But even if this is competitive, if, you know, Liquid somehow, you know, ends up facing G2 and they wipe them out, that doesn't really prove anything.
You know when I cared about Rift Rivals? When I knew we were just going to get rolled at MSI and Worlds every year. When I knew that every other international competition was just going to be a stomp.
Was all you had?
Yeah. And that's who it means something to. It's kind of like the people who, you know, are fans of the Eastern Conference in basketball. You're not going to win the chip.
All right. Well, we got
well, besides Toronto.
We got to switch our focus over to the NPL. Again, it's been 2 weeks since we have talked about anything in the NPL. Last we left it was the last week of play. Tempo Storm was up against a big challenge. Guess what? They pulled it out and ended up on top of the heap.
Wow.
For the end of stage two. I know, super impressive. Let's take a look at the GLL Grand Slam, which is next for all of the PUBG leagues. The event runs from July 19th through the 21st in Stockholm. So far, Latin America, North America, Oceanic have qualifiers that are completed, and we're still kind of waiting on the Europeans to finish up. From North America, we will be seeing Tempo Storm, Cloud9, Ghost Gaming. The Rumblers were able to stay in there in contention. And Space Station Gaming, all going to the GLL Grand Slam. From Latin America, Bitloft, Team Singularity, and one more team will qualify from the region and from Oceania, Atletico, Incognito, and hell yeah, brother.
Wait, stop.
Hell yeah, brother.
Glossing over hell yeah, brother.
That's a great name.
That's amazing. Here,
man. Yeah, that might be the most appropriate drop for hell yeah, brother. $300,000 is on the line in addition to the best performing region will receive an additional regional slot at the 2019 World
Stakes
Championship. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently going through our league updates, giving you the latest updates on the biggest leagues operating right now in esports, and we got to shift our focus now over to Overwatch League, who had just a monster of a week in play.
These last 2 weeks have been absolutely amazing. Some of the finest Overwatch I've ever seen. And I actually want to start with our 2018 champions. London Spitfire have had a weird week. They took the New York Excelsior to a game 5
in a great match.
Probably one of the best matches we've seen. Great, by the way, to see Sabiel be back up on stage, mm-hmm. playing the Sombra and the Tracer. It's so refreshing to see. But then they went on a little bit later in the weekend to go up against the Washington Justice and just barely manages to secure that win.
Really?
Yeah.
2-1. I don't know if this is the worst I've ever seen London or the best I've ever seen Washington.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty bad, but, you know, I think the Spitfire are getting used to this meta, and they're a very flexible team, so I think they have the most to gain.
Sure, and I mean, they're still going to make it. They'll be in the playoffs,
yeah.
But still, it's weird seeing them this way. Your Boston Uprising also had a bit of a shaky week, obviously getting swept.
I'm used to shaky weeks out of them, to be honest with you.
Getting swept by the San Francisco Shock, 0-4, that's not a surprise.
No.
Almost lost to the Paris Eternal, but they actually managed to get the reverse sweep on them.
Is the reverse sweep not the most fun thing to watch
in esports? Yes, it is the most entertaining thing in esports.
And,
it's great.
And it's actually weird because we've seen Kellex and AimGod now back in the lineup, and mm-hmm. I've been seeing some rumors and rumblings going around that the reason that they were benched for the majority of this stage is because they weren't getting along very well with each other.
Oh.
So, yeah, could be some inner turmoil there. Probably my favorite game of the entire week was the Seoul Dynasty versus the Hangzhou Spark.
Really?
Yes.
That
was a lot of fun to see. Well, because both of them are those teams that they're kind of on the cusp of being really, really great.
That's right.
But we just continue to see them struggle week after week after week. And to me, this was a game that was just so much fun to watch. They went all the way to a game 5. The Spark did end up walking away with it, which was fine, I guess. I guess it does for me. It's not really one way or the other who takes it.
But speaking of Seoul, I mean, that's a big point about internal turmoil. Now there's been reports of Fissure having some conflicts and not necessarily feeling great about his place in Seoul because his spot's been taken by Marvel.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a lot to say on Fissure that maybe isn't super professional, but we will leave it at that. You know who I really feel sorry for is Ryu Jae Hong.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves a team that's, like, sitting close closer to the top, and it's just it's heartbreaking.
Man, you guys are really burying the lead here, because there was one team that stood atop all of them, completely undefeated in regular season play, and I understand that they got toppled by an unlikely competitor.
That's right. Yep. Those who went 0-7 in Stage 1, 3-4 in Stage 2, the Los Angeles Valiant may be back. They had a great week. Not only did they topple the undefeated in regular season Vancouver Titans 3-1, they also took down the up-and-comers, the Shanghai Dragons, in a 3-1 as well.
That is still so weird.
It was a fantastic week for Los Angeles.
You've got to walk me through this. What happened? Like, the Titans have been so strong. You know, a couple of times it looked like maybe, you know, one of these stronger teams had their number, but then they would always pull it out. What? How did the Valiant of all teams be able to figure this out?
You got Shaq, who's come on line for the Valiant now, who played an absolutely lights out Sombra. He was unstoppable. And you combine that with a team in the Titans that has struggled with Sombra in this particular meta all stage long. They have not looked comfortable in Sombra Goats and other versions of it. So they haven't looked necessarily as dominant as they have in stages past.
So this wasn't a game adjustment or a meta adjustment that happened underneath them. This is literally the Valiant was able to get their number.
They were. And it was through the Sombra play. And it was also being able to put the DPS players who are really talented on the heroes they're used to. Yeah, Agilities on the Pharah, for instance.
Yeah, it's worth noting that they put a bunch of new pieces on the board. Agility is coming back on the Pharah. You mentioned Shax, which is a recent acquisition they got. Fact Fiction as well, you know, performed very well on the tanks. And, you know, as of last stage, they finally brought Custa back into the mix as well. So I think we're finally starting to see a return to what we had come to expect out of the Valiant, at least back in Stage 1. And it's really, really nice to see.
Well, the Outlaws do.
They got clapped by the worst team in the league.
We know. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get really deep into it, but we do want to hear from you. What were you watching over the weekend? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll check in with our social media followers. We ask you guys what your favorite esports moment of all time is. We'll also share our own favorite esports moments of all times. That's still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, but ahead next, Zen of the Renegades joins us to talk about the opening of a brand new facility called Game Time in Detroit, Michigan. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Zen, a Rocket League player with the Renegades, joins us here in just a second. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Make sure you're checking out our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including two brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective, with the new Sarah emote. Join the community at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Earlier this week, Joe got a really unique opportunity to go check out Game Time, a new facility that is going to house the Renegades esports team and is really cool because it's also open to the public.
Yes.
So why don't we check out our conversation with Zen from the Renegades, and then I've got some questions for you, Joe.
Hey, what's up? This is Joe with Checkpoint XP. I am here at Game Time with the Detroit Renegades. I am joined now by Zen, who plays Rocket League for them. Zen, how's it going, man?
It's going all right. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about joining Renegades and what playing Rocket League for the Renegades is like.
It's a pretty surreal experience being able to fly out to international tournaments. You know, being from the Oceanic region in Australia, it's pretty isolated, so being able to fly out to places like the U.S. and Valencia coming up soon is pretty cool.
Obviously, our listeners and many people who know the show are big fans of the North American region. We don't know a ton about the Oceanic region. What is it like making that transition from playing, you know, completely in Oceania to now playing a lot of North American stuff?
Playing domestically, it's pretty cool on its own. I mean, you're going out to domestic lands against teams that you play against every day, almost. But being able to go international is amazing, really. You get to play against teams that you watch on YouTube and highlight videos and stuff like that. So being able to play against them and prove your worth is very good.
You have those moments like where you're like, hey, I'm playing against someone that I kind of watched as a fan for a long time, and now I'm standing on that level with them. What kind of... How does it make you feel when you realize, oh, I can compete on this level?
So I've joined this team about 6 months ago, and before that I was only playing strictly domestically because we didn't have an opportunity like this. So being able to go to a couple of lands internationally and really get to experience what it's like, it's pretty cool. I think being able to compete internationally has been a big confidence boost as well, because you know, you watch these people online and you're thinking, wow, I don't think I'll be able to really compete against them, but you know, you get the experience and you really get there.
What's the key to kind of facing that down, to, you know, showing up, kind of not so much facing your fears, but realizing that you are able to compete? What is the key to, you know, getting yourself under control and playing at that level?
It's mostly about practicing beforehand internationally. You know, we've been given quite a big boot camp before the World Championships coming up in New Jersey. So it's been very helpful to me because I haven't really had as much international experience as my teammates. So being able to get that practice in against the higher tier opponents is really good.
All right, so we got to talk about this facility here. Obviously, first time here. Game Time, this place is awesome. What's it like being able to practice and compete here?
It's amazing, really. Coming in for the first time, we were really wowed by how the place was done. We've got the screens out there showing off Kami's gameplay and stuff like that. But it's really good. They've got chefs downstairs. It's all the resources you really want in a gaming facility, really.
Good food, good screens. What more is there to look for, right? So, as someone maybe who isn't super into esports, maybe they just have a passing interest or they're just starting to get into it, what would you say, like, does this place give a good feeling for what the esports scene is?
I think for a casual gamer or someone new to the scene, I think it's a very good insight into what a pro game is like. The peripherals and equipment downstairs is very accurate to what pros would use.
So what message do you have for, you know, fans of Zen, fans of the Detroit Renegades, fans of Rocket League? What message do you have for them?
To all the fans and everyone watching, it's always very reassuring to have the support, especially being international, having all domestic support back in Australia. It's very grounding.
Zen of the Detroit Renegades. We'll have more to come. Thank you.
Thanks again to Zen for his time. And to find full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. So, Joe, yeah, you actually got to go to this facility, mm-hmm, Game Time, and you know, if anyone is catching the show nationally syndicated across the United States, we're going to be there live this Friday. Now, obviously, our show doesn't always air on Fridays.
Right.
Maybe you're listening to this on a Saturday or a Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. That's okay. We'll have that over at our website, checkpointxp.com. You can check out the VODs, so you can check out this awesome facility. And you can check out our podcast. It'll be a part of our daily podcast. That'll be Friday, June 28th.
Yeah.
That daily podcast, mm-hmm, if you want to check that out. So I got to ask about this space.
Sure.
We've checked out a lot of esports spaces, you know, the Allied Esports Arena, all of these different places that are, you know, being set up across the country.
Right.
How does this compare to a lot of what we've seen, you know, maybe at the Allied Esports Arena?
Yeah, so, like, don't think of this as an arena, because, like, all those places that we're talking about that we've seen, they're more, you know, where, like, you'd expect, like, big tournaments to be
held.
This, like...
for me, like, if I picture what would I want an esports sports bar to look like, that's what this felt like to
me. Oh my God, that's so much cooler.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so much cooler.
I mean, you walk in the ground floor, it's got the huge long bar, it's got computers set up, big screen TVs everywhere showing different esports matches going on. We actually got to sample a little bit of the food that they serve. I mean, I don't want to like use the phrase like for bar food.
Sure.
It's better than that. Like the food was actually really good.
Now, I mean, we've been to, you know, gamer themed bars out in California.
Yeah.
Our listener Skuro joined us for that. You know, and we've seen a lot of that. Does it seem like it's that concept just taken to a bigger level?
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of Insert Coins out in Las Vegas, which unfortunately closed, but it was sort of like a nightclub with a strong gamer theme. This is sort of a sports bar with a strong gamer theme.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I looked at it. I mean, then you've got like this upstairs area where that's where they've actually got the pros playing. They have them, and you can go up there. They've got a merch store there. They've got a separate bar up there. Like, they've got a lot of really cool stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, when I think of like, if you know, people who listen or watch traditional sports, you go to a sports bar to hang out, this would be your equivalent to that. This would be the kind of place you would go to do something like that.
Man, I just love this concept.
This is pretty fun.
Like, this is definitely, I have said 100 times out loud to maybe nobody in particular, I wish I had a bar that I could go to.
Social place.
Yeah, which I was like,
without
like,
being looked at sideways when you ask for them to turn Evo on.
Yeah, or you know, where I could bring out my Switch and it's not the weirdest, I'm now the weirdest dude in the bar. You know what I mean? Like,
you'd still be a weird dude, but not because
of that.
I mean,
yeah, because you're only supposed to use that on rooftops.
Yeah, rooftop.
I forget. You're right, Norris. I totally forgot the Nintendo marketing.
You're not allowed to do it in haunted houses too.
That's right. Yes, those are the only two scenarios. All right. Well, if you want to check out Game Time again, this is opening in Auburn Hills, Michigan. If you're in Michigan or will be traveling to Michigan, you should definitely make time to go check it out. We want to hear from you. Tell us about a facility like this near you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to tell us about your favorite esports moment of all time. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 in Fort Myers, Florida. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show as a daily Monday through Friday podcast. Subscribe at our website, CheckpointXP.com, or at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can make sure to respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you what your all-time favorite esports moment is. And, you know, I've gone first last couple of weeks, so I'm going to go first again.
Okay.
Cool.
I feel like we should mention this is our last episode from our old studio, which used to be it is still located in my second bedroom, but as of next week's show,
Nate,
we will be in a state-of-the-art studio. We want you to join us over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, but I think I've got to name my favorite esports moment as moment 37. I mean, it is an obvious choice, but it is one of the best.
They don't know what moment 37
moment
is.
37 is the perfect Chun-Li Perry that happened. What year was this? Was this
2004?
04?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was still in high school when that happened.
I had just graduated high school. This would have been my first year of college, and I remember when it happened and how explosive that footage was. And
Daigo Umehara.
That was always
That moment for a lot of people, even if you've been in esports beforehand, is sort of like, to me, what esports had the potential to beat.
A lot of people point at that, and you know, they're like, you know, it was one of the first examples where you could go, yeah, a video game caused this kind of reaction, and people were like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
It was explosive.
You know, Nate, of course, that was one that I was thinking of, but for me, no, but for me, honestly, is you have just a litany of really important wins in Evo. I think of even Problem X last year,
sure,
as a huge win in Evo, not just for, you know, England and the EU, but also, you know, just for Street Fighter in general. It was a character that nobody liked. It's a character that only a few people have totally mastered, and it would have been Moment 37, but I loved seeing Problem X's run last year, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that.
Joe, what about you?
You know, I think I may have talked about it once before, but yeah, I go back to it's a great moment in that it is a painfully difficult moment to watch. You go back to the early days of StarCraft II, Idra versus Huck. Famously, Idra surrendered a game that he had basically a guaranteed win on. Yeah, Huck decided that since he was going to lose anyway, he would just hallucinate a bunch of fake units to make it look like he had a big army. Idra saw the void rays, and surrendered, and basically rage quit out of the game, thinking he'd lost.
It's literally one of the best moments of brain play ever.
The moment where the casters are like trying to figure out, like, oh, wait, what just happened? And literally they look at each other in disbelief. One of the casters is just like, hey, do you remember like 6 months ago when I joked what would happen if you hallucinated a bunch of units and the other guy quit? I think we just saw that moment.
Oh, so, man.
That's my all-time favorite moment.
That's amazing. Robbie, what about you?
I don't have to go back too far. I'm going to look back to last year when Sonic Fox gave that speech.
Oh, like the video game award.
After getting was it Esports Athlete of the Year, right?
Yes.
And walked up, and basically it was just, I don't care, blew everyone, like, man, you either loved him or you hated him.
And a lot of people hated him.
And if you hated him, you're probably a scum lord.
Sonic Fox is an absolute legend.
Oh, man. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're currently going through our social media question. We're asking you guys what your favorite esports moment of all time is. But before we get to your responses, Sarah, I gotta ask you, what is your all-time favorite esports moment?
I unfortunately don't watch as much esports as I should, but I was introduced to Haas on StarCraft.
You work here?
And I can't really explain a specific moment, but I always admire anybody that just knows how to play the game in a way that's against the meta, and it's always been my favorite.
Yes, I mean, Haas, the absolute king of cheese in StarCraft 2. I love that answer. That makes
phenomenal.
Me so happy. You know, another one no one mentioned on here, but we got to talk about it for a quick second, just because GDQ is going on this week. It's one of the best charity events of the year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not technically esports, but it's competitive gaming in another way. Big shout out to GDQ and the speedrunning community, because that's the original esports.
Yeah, for those that don't know, that stands for Games Done Quick. It's speedrunning that goes down on Twitch, and they raise a whole bunch of money for charity.
Yeah.
You should check it out, because it is happening right now. So let's check out some of the responses that we were getting in over social media.
Over on Facebook, we have Catherine, who says, Hungrybox's epic 2-set run against Armada to win Evo in Melee.
Listen, that was such a great moment, not just because he won with Jiggly Puff, but also you saw the tension and the emotion, and we was finally able to win and release all that emotion. It was absolutely great, and it was big time. It was
his set against Plup was one where he was just like, you could see the tension and the focus on his face. That's always one that I love.
We have Luke, who says season 2 of League of Legends Taipei Assassins beat Azubu Frost to become world champions. The moment I got into League of Legends.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
Season two was a great year. It was like right before SKT came onto the scene and became, like, you know, universally dominant.
The Yankees.
Taipei Assassins, man. Season two.
Speaking of deep cuts, Chase says, longtime League of Legends fan here. Season 1 World Championships, Freak's Basement, nothing will ever be better.
Even
Freak's
deeper
Basement
cut.
Reference. I love it.
That's awesome. Now that is just like a rumor slash inside joke. It wasn't actually
in
his basement.
No, it wasn't actually
right?
in his basement, but everyone joked that it was in Freak's basement.
Right. Might as well have been.
We have Brooke who says, I got into Rocket League last year. That Cloud9 win at RLCS was amazing.
It really was.
Yeah.
You're right. That was an amazing moment. Again, no one expected North America to matter in that tournament, and Cloud9 goes all the way.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Over on Twitter, we have Ghostless, who says, my all-time favorite was finally witnessing the Shanghai Dragons gain their first victory.
Yes.
It's not a bad one.
Listen, that's not bad. I can imagine that they would have
cried. Over the Boston Uprising.
How many games did they go winless?
40.
Was it 43?
Or
I thought it was 43.
Yeah.
42 or 43. Yeah.
I mean, that's an impressive losing streak. I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, like, you got to try to be that bad. But,
It sounds like you're throwing shade. I got to tell you.
You know what?
Shade,
don't
man.
Judge me. But the thing is yeah, as soon as that win finally broke, now they're actually a fairly competitive team in the OWO.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have BT Core who says, RLCS Season 5. After going down 3-2 with 4 seconds left, NRG keep the ball in the air long enough to score a 0-second goal and tie things back against Dignitas. Incredible moment.
Yeah, I went back actually and watched that clip just recently. It's like 4 seconds left, and they seriously keep the ball off the ground for like 12 seconds to score that goal.
That's ridiculous. I remember seeing a clip once of just someone who'd like 3-bumped it, and like my brain was like draining out my ears. I was like so blown away.
All right, one more.
Over on Facebook, we have William who says, I can't remember the season, but me and my friends threw a Super Bowl-sized party for the first season SKT won their first world in League of Legends. It was the first time I actually understood why sports people get excited about sports.
Season 3.
Yep,
the beginning of dominance.
All right. Well, listen, we always want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to each week's social media question. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles in the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station, like 101 Sports in St. Louis or WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. And remember to come back next week for more videos. Video game news and discussions. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.